This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. On this Giving Tuesday, a man who's worked for nearly a decade and a half in philanthropy and very much wants people to be giving like crazy today and year-round, we get him on the line here. He has a fundamental critique. Edgar Villanueva has a new book called Decolonizing Wealth, Indigenous Wisdom to Heal Divides and Restore Balance. Thank you for joining us.
It's an honor to be on the program.
I want to understand this. It's your conclusion from your work and your lived experience as a Native American of South Carolina's Lumbee tribe that, what, too often modern-day charity follows patterns of the old plantation economy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we see within philanthropy and even in our broader economic system, remnants of our history of colonization, sort of the frameworks that are inherent with that history around extracting, dividing, controlling, exploiting. We see that even in philanthropy, which is supposed to be about charity and supporting community, often contributes to those dynamics when we're not conscious of how we're showing up as a sector.
You go quite far with this, that you say that the philanthropies sometimes echo a colonial era savior mentality, which brought to my mind the Victorian idea of white man's burden, that Western influence is somehow civilizing and that it's up to the West to fix oppressed people's problems?
Yeah, there's an absolute parallel representation of that idea within philanthropy. When you look at who has wealth in this country, and even globally, who has the wealth to actually be in the position to start a foundation, by far you see that white folks are privileged, and most foundations are started by wealthy elite folks who happen to be white. Most of the demographics of the boards and leadership of foundations happen to be white. And then the ideas and the organizations that are supported by philanthropy by far are those that are led by white folks. And so you can see this very parallel way of thinking with the power that philanthropy has with its $900 billion in assets in the United States. There's a major influence that this sector has to push ideas and ideology of those wealthy elite folks that, it, you know, very much is connected to this idea of white saviorism.
But I mean, some charity does flow to non-white populations. I'm thinking of humanitarian aid, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely want to say that I think that philanthropy is a good thing. I'm not attacking philanthropy and charity by any stretch of the imagination. I still work at a foundation that supports nonprofits. So I think that giving and philanthropy is absolutely a wonderful thing and that everybody should participate in it. What I'm calling out in my work is for us to actually examine who benefits the most from the resources. We know that white folks who, with wealth, of course, as we mentioned, are in the position to start foundations and to kind of call the shots. And when we look at where money is going as a result of these foundations, the majority of those funds by far are not reaching communities of color. Only about 7.5 to 8% of grants from foundations in the United States go to communities of color, and less than 1% go to Native American communities. And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, what is the net value of philanthropy for communities of color and for indigenous communities if our communities are not benefiting from those resources in a fair way?
Well, you have a plan in the book. I'd like to understand it better. You use the phrase decolonizing wealth, and I read echoes there of maybe the truth and reconciliation process in South Africa. You know, there's a process that starts with, I think, grieving.
I think all of us have to come to terms with the truth of what has transpired in our country, in our families, to understand the origins of wealth and how the accumulation of wealth has actually traumatized many communities. How we, as an indigenous person representing my community, have not benefited from the same type of opportunities in the United States. And so the process of decolonizing wealth is simply about having a process of truth and reconciliation about that, so that we can grieve and apologize and really understand why we are seeing such a growth in the race wealth gap in this country. Although we have more foundations and a lot more charity happening, we're not seeing that this race wealth gap is actually changing or diminishing. We're seeing that the divide between the haves and the have-nots is actually growing. And so truth and reconciliation would, you know, that type of process in the United States would not only help to redistribute wealth in a way that is more equitable, but I think it would go further than that to actually bring healing to our country and restore balance. And especially right now in a time where we feel extremely polarized, we need to come to terms with our history as a community and begin to have those tough conversations and think about our collective healing.
And I'm just looking at the list of the 7 points: grieve, apologize, then listen, relate, represent, invest, and repair. One part of this, you argue, is that charities need to tithe specifically toward communities of color, to Native American groups, to African American groups. You set a figure, 10%.
Yeah, you know, I kind of, you know, pulled that 10% out as just an idea to put on the table. I grew up in a tradition in the Christian faith where my family practiced, you know, giving 10% of our income back to the church or back to the community. And so I sort of, you know, chose that number as a number that many people will be familiar with. But the big idea behind the 10% is actually asking folks with wealth, asking foundations who sit on billions of dollars of wealth to actually take into consideration how that wealth was accumulated. And in this country, having a history of colonization and genocide and slavery, we know that these very traumatic experiences for people of color help to generate the wealth that many people now enjoy. And so when you're in a position to have access to these resources, to think about a minimum of giving 10% back would be just a start to try to repair the harm that has been done, if you think about it sort of through a reparations lens, and to begin to close that race wealth gap.
And you point out dedicating 10% to this would not require an act of the U.S. Congress or anything.
No, absolutely not. You know, the sector of philanthropy, institutional philanthropy, is very much not regulated. There have been very few guidelines or restrictions on what foundations can and cannot do, actually. The only guideline around giving away money is really focused on a minimum requirement that the government requires of private foundations to give away 5% of their assets on an annual basis. Most foundations see that as the maximum amount that they need to give out because they are more focused on accumulating more wealth for their long-term sustainability. And so if any foundation wanted to give more than that, they absolutely have the right to do so. And some do. On average, foundations give away about 7% to 10% of their assets over a three-year rolling average. And I'm pushing for more folks to think about that minimum payout requirement, not as the ceiling, but really to try to give more than that. We've got to move serious capital into communities of color if we're going to see this change in the economy, if we're going to see change in opportunity for people of color.
Edgar Villanueva still works in philanthropy. The full title of the book is Decolonizing Wealth: Indigenous Wisdom to Heal Divides and Restore Balance. It has a foreword by Warren Buffett's daughter-in-law and son, Jennifer and Peter Buffett. Mr. Villanueva, thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
As we continue to explore nuances of giving, do you have a story that you'd like to tell us about how your own life took a turn, good or bad, because of someone else's charity? If a story comes to mind, we are all ears. You can tweet at us. Marketplace is the Twitter handle.